Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, welcome. It is Wednesday. Thank you for joining Paul.
Hey, Jor.
And me, Jordana. It's a fun Wednesday here.
It's Wednesday. It's hump day. I can see the weekend.
You can see a free lunch happening on Thursday.
Yes.
Just a quick reminder before we get to the key word. Twins is offering a free lunch on 10th and Nicolet on Thursday because of the season opener, 11:30 to 12:30. Our promo team will be there giving out some CCO swag. TC the Bear will be there. And you get a free lunch. So it's happening on 10th and Nicolet tomorrow at 11:30 to 12:30.
You're telling me there is a free lunch?
There is, baby. There is.
Thank you, Twins.
But if you have to pay, you might win $1,000 now.
That's right. That's right. Trying to give away some cash. It's time for this hour's national contest. The keyword for cash is gone. One more time, gone. G-O-N-E. As in, the $1,000 will be gone. Text that keyword to 72881 for your chance to win a cool $1,000. Again, the number to text is 72881. This hour's keyword is gone, G-O-N-E. If you don't win this hour, listen for your next chance to win coming up at 412. Messaging and data rates may apply. Remember, please don't text or drive. Text and drive. It's doing them both together.
You can drive and you can text. You just can't do that together.
You can text. You just can't drive. Please do not drive. Just stay where you are.
See what happens when you give us a script. We cannot stick to that.
The teleprompter's broken.
I'm sad this is only a three-hour show. Well, I always am. But there is so much to pack into the weeds today. We have so much to discuss. We wanted to talk about the census question, about citizenship. We have calls out to the Department of Commerce and calls out to the Census Office. Both of them looks like they're not going to come on, which I'm annoyed about. We have calls out to Mary Franzen for her Facebook post about the Hitler Youth, likening the Hitler Youth to the Parkland students that are now rallying for sensible gun control.
And we want to give her a chance to explain herself.
Why? That's the question.
What was she thinking? And so anyway, she removed those posts have been removed, by the way.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. We're going to play Wait What in a few minutes. We're going to talk about what's happening in Atlanta. Their city,
their internet
has been hacked and they're being held ransom. That's a big story. And of course, we'll make you laugh with the weird news roundup to round up the show.
Yeah, there's plenty to babble about
today. I hope we get it all in.
I hope so, too. I don't think we can, but we will try.
Something that we were chatting about during before the show was I went away this weekend, this past weekend. I was on vacation. You missed me very much.
That's right. Yeah.
So we went skiing with my husband's children, who are grown. They're 29 and 31. One is married. One has a girlfriend. So it was so lovely to be with adult kids because my kids are little, 14, 12, and 10, mm-hmm. young. And it was so great to be with these adult kids because they pay for themselves. My children, you know, obviously, you're shedding money. You're hemorrhaging money right and left. But at one point during the weekend with Mark's kids, you know, we were at a bar after skiing and we sat down. And his son Adam says to me, Jor, I opened a tab at the bar, you know, go get whatever you want and then come because I was late. I was shopping and I joined them. I thought, oh, that is so great that this grown man, he makes his own money. He's a taxpaying adult, so has mm-hmm. a great job. He opened a bar for everybody. They didn't expect their dad to pay for everything. And I thought, this is a brave new world, and I really want to live here. But I don't imagine it's that way for everybody. Are you still footing the bill for your grown kids?
No. Walt and Brett pay for themselves. Brett's in the Navy, mm-hmm. and he gets a salary from the Navy. And Walt works for a tech company. And it's amazing. The first time your kid picks up the tab for dinner, for anything, it is a glorious moment. And I think we're paying the cell phone bills, but they reimburse us because they're on a family mm-hmm. plan to get a better rate. Mm-hmm. But no, they pay for all their own stuff. Again, they're 28 and 30, and they should be paying their own way, right?
Or should they? How does this work in your house? Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Our text line is 81807. Did you have a line in the sand where your children, who maybe you know, legal adults should pay for themselves. When you all go out to dinner, how does it work? Because there was no conversation that we had about it. And in fact, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine and she was like, I don't know, she was kind of poo-pooing the vacation. She goes, well, yeah, I'm sure the kids come because, you know, I mean, their dad pays.
And they get a free ride.
Yeah, I stepped back. I said, he did not. They paid for their own plane tickets. They paid for their own lift tickets because, you know, snowboarding is expensive. They paid for their own stuff.
Right,
right. I mean, I know it's a good way to get your kids to go on vacation with you when they're grown and you want to spend time. But, I mean, we're lucky that he raised terrific kids. He and his ex-wife raised amazing children. They're wonderful. And they did not pay for their stuff. And I was, for one, very grateful. I thought they were very sweet kids.
So in a perfect world, what should it be? When should your kids start picking up the tab? Is it black and white? Is it when they are gainfully employed, when they're taking home a paycheck, they should make some contribution
mm-hmm.
when it comes to vacations, meals, whatever?
And is it awkward at dinner when, you know, the bill comes and your son and his wife or your daughter and her husband are sitting there? Do you ask to split the check or does, you know, dad just pick up the bill? It can get awkward.
My dad is 87, and we alternate.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
And I try to time it so that the more expensive meals, dad pays for.
We have a rule with my parents that when they're in our city, we pay. When we're in their city, which is
my
hometown,
that makes sense.
They pay. So
that makes sense.
We try to even it out.
It all evens out.
And you want to do nice things. Look, there was a time this weekend where, you know, my husband and I paid for everybody's dinner because we wanted to treat the kids. So there was one dinner that we paid for. And it was great. And not that you shouldn't do it if you have the ability to do it. But it's that weird space with grown kids.
And your kids probably do want to pay. They want to show that they have successfully launched, that they can take care of themselves, that they can give back. So I think it's the source of pride for a lot of young people that, hey, I am making enough money now. Yeah, I'm happy to pick up the tab.
Jamie's in Eagan. Jamie, you got some thoughts on this?
Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Jamie.
Hi there. Welcome back to CCO.
Thank you, ma'am.
oh, my gosh. Anyway, I've got a friend who, him and his wife have a son that his student loan payments are like $600 a month, and now he gets a letter saying they're going up to $800. He's got a part-time job. He's living with his parents yet. He just turned 30. He can't afford to be on his own. But, I mean, he helps out when he can, but it's like, holy cow, these student loans, I mean, unfortunately, kind of a nowhere degree in art and ends up where he is. And
that's a sad situation.
A different job, but holy cow, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough situation. And I'm not saying that these kids who don't have any money should be footing the bill for some stuff. But if they are gainfully employed, it's a different situation.
I feel so bad for these kids that come out of school with $50,000 or $100,000 or $300,000 in debt. I mean, how do you dig out from that?
You can't do much with negotiating with these either. You know, once you get your loan amount, it's like you're kind of SOL as far as trying to negotiate or get some help.
Right.
Lower them anywhere, you know.
Good call, Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
Appreciate the time. Let's sneak in Bob and Eagan. Also in Eagan. Hi, Bob. You got some thoughts?
Well, yeah. My mother had a really good plan, and it worked for, I had four siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you were in school, you could, stay at home for free.
Okay.
And then when, once you weren't in school any longer, then, you know, room and board or, you know, but that worked really well, I thought.
Good rule.
It seemed fair to me, you know, once you're making your own money. That's,
right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Stay at home, you got to pay. You know, Or either that or they're buying dinner every night when you're there.
Good call, Bob.
I just got to go look real quick for another night class. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
And maybe it's not even monetary. Let's assume they are trying to dig out from student debt. Maybe it's just taking the time and doing chores and helping out around the house and raking or bringing in the dock or whatever, but just making some contribution.
Absolutely. Texters are flying in. Hey, guys, the kids should start paying their own way when they turn age 12.
Oh, there you go.
They become a bar bat mitzvah. I agree with you.
Tough love.
I agree with you.
Hi, Jordan and Paul. I'm 60. My mother is 80. We give a heads up to the wait staff to give us the bill and not even bring it to the table. Valerie, Wow.
So she's paying for her mom. So sweet. So sweet.
Very nice.
Let's take a quick break. We see your text. We'll continue the conversation as we play Wait What when we return.
Welcome back, Jordana and Paul, on a Wednesday. When is it appropriate, if ever, for your kids to start picking up the tab? Sure seems like it's appropriate.
We're going to play Wait What in a minute, but we wanted to get to a couple of your texts. I'm 29 and my 63-year-old dad never lets me pay for dinner, the texter writes. Tells me not to buy him gifts. Sweet.
Hmm. My 40-year-old brother still lives at home and doesn't pay for anything.
Oh, boy.
Food, electricity, water, going out to eat, nothing. Makes me proud to show my parents I can help out and pick up the tab when I take them out every once in a while when I see them. Disappointed with my brother, though.
It
Ouch.
Happens. I yeah. know. Sorry about that. Hey, guys, my mom and dad would always pay when I was a family. He would not let anyone else buy. We have a weekly meal with our family, and when we go out, it's skipping. I'm sorry. The kids buy their own drinks. When we eat our when we eat at home, our daughter will make and buy the meal, though it's vegan.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. Hey, well, my daughter was young and a single parent and couldn't afford many extras. Now, even though she's married with family, I enjoy paying for things whenever I can. I get that. And it gives parents such nachas, such pleasure, such joy to buy things for our children.
Sure.
But sometimes it gives us joy when you pay for things, too.
Well, yeah.
Make a note. Anyway, okay, let's play. You ready? Speaking of kids, we have three. My oldest is on spring break, so she had some time to.
This is a public service. Again, this is so older people mm-hmm. can communicate with younger people, and we can all get along.
You ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
Our first word is whitewalling, spelled W-H-I-T-E-W-A-L-L-I-N-G. In a sentence.
Oh, whitewalling. Hey, Sue, before you leave, can you turn down the music a little bit? It's a little too loud. I'm sorry. Okay, you ready for the sentence?
Whitewalling.
Okay.
In a sentence, you'd say, I just got a call for an interview at a job that I really want to take. But before I go, I totally have to whitewall my Facebook account.
Mary Franson probably should have thought about this.
Oh, you have to cover up the posts or delete the posts that could be incriminating. You have to fine-tune your posts so that nothing nasty shows up if somebody goes in to take a look at your facelift comments. Whitewalling.
Right. Ready?
Yeah.
The definition of whitewalling is to delete many or even all past Facebook posts in an effort to maintain a reasonable reputation.
Oh, yeah.
Reasonable.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
Whitewalling. That was
done.
That was intuitive. Some of these are intuitive.
But I never heard of the term whitewalling.
I didn't either.
Like if someone said that in a sentence.
I thought tires.
Yeah. Thank you. But I like it though, right? Make it white. Make it clean. Paint it. Right.
Yep.
All right. Here we go.
Our second word is dirty delete, spelled D-I-R-T-Y-D-E-L-E-T-E.
Dirty delete.
I think we had a theme going on with this week. I got to go check my kid's Instagram. She doesn't have Facebook, but Instagram. Ready?
Yeah.
In a sentence, you'd say, everyone knew she would dirty delete her post stating vaccines aren't necessary as soon as it was posted. When everyone started calling her a potato for her unpopular opinion, she dirty deleted the post.
I'm actually more curious about the potato.
The vaccine thing?
The potato. Everyone started calling her a potato for her post. I got to ask Marley about that one. But dirty delete. She dirty deleted her post. I think that's what Mary Franzen did. She dirty deleted her Hitler Youth post on her Facebook page.
And when people call me a potato, I thank them. That's one of the nicer things I'm called, actually.
I'm going to ask Marley about the potato.
That'd be an upgrade for me.
Okay, so dirty delete.
Dirty delete.
Define it for us.
I think it's the same kind of thing that we just talked about with Facebook. I think it's going back and deleting a post that you think may be incriminating or may reflect poorly on you over the long haul.
The definition of dirty delete is used primarily in Facebook groups. Dirty delete is when someone makes a post and later decides to delete it, usually because no one is agreeing with the post.
Hmm. So do I give that to you?
I don't know. Are you feeling generous?
Susan said she would give it to you. So you post something and people give you flack for it. You dirty delete that, baby.
You delete it because you think you're going to get flack from your friends?
You dirty delete it.
Yeah,
Mary Franzen.
I'm exhausted.
Dirty deleting.
Social media is exhausting.
Very busy dirty deleting. Oh, this is a fun one. Okay. Do we have time? We do have time for one more, right, Sue?
Yep.
Oh, wait, shoot. Hold on one sec. Here we go.
Our third word is mamarazzi. In a sentence, you'd say, before the team could leave the field, the Mamarazzi wanted one last team photo for their Facebook pages.
Do you not love this word?
The Mamarazzi. Yeah, it's mom married with paparazzi, and they all got their cameras out, and they all want photos.
I am a proud iPhone carrying member Mamarazzi. Of the Mamarazzi.
I love that. That is a good
one. That's a good one. Hold on.
The definition of Mamarazzi is a gaggle of moms with expensive smartphones taking photos of their kids' team or activity.
Yep. Yes. Love that.
I am such a member. I got to remember.
And sometimes they're like, "Mom, put it away."
You know, then you get the dirty looks from your kids, but they're glad you have the video.
You need to post this. All of these.
I was a member of the Mamarazzi this morning because my oldest had some dental work done, and they gave her the gas.
Oh, and she drooled?
Yes. Not only drooled, but, you know, you're a little silly after the gas. So she's like, "Why am I laughing at everything?" I didn't want to tell her. Don't like it too much, okay? But it was.
Did
pretty...
you take some home?
Oh, yeah.
Just to keep it going.
I have a bunch of videos of her being silly and her mouth like,
when she's in a bad mood. Here, try some of this, Marley. Here, no, try it.
Oh my goodness! So, Mamarazzi, I hope you did. I hope you did as well at home playing Wait What as Paul did. I'm very impressed with your knowledge.
Getting a little better. I really stank up the joint when we started this.
It was pretty easy this week.
Yeah, these were a little more intuitive. Thank you. Thank you, Marley.
Take a break for news, and we will be back with Rick Nelson from the Star Tribune.
Jordana and Paul, happy Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in. A couple of stories that caught my eye. Stormy Daniels' lawyer wants to depose President Trump. The lawyer for adult film star Stormy Daniels has asked a federal judge for permission to depose President Trump and force him to face questioning under oath about what he knew about the agreement to pay Daniels hush money to keep quiet about their alleged affair. Again, this apparently the request is for a deposition of, quote, no greater than 2 hours for President Trump. So we will see where that goes.
Not going to happen, but interesting.
Well, can't blame her for asking. You were talking about Facebook maybe offering a paid version.
No. That was just a suggestion somebody made on my Facebook. Hey, if you paid $2 a month for Facebook, would you pay $2 a month for Facebook, you know, for no ads and to secure your privacy?
And the answer I think a lot of people would
Heck
have
yeah.
is you bring it on.
Yeah.
Facebook is revamping their privacy settings. They announced a tweak of its privacy settings amidst a company crisis over the handling of personal data. In a Facebook post, appropriately enough, two senior officials said it's, quote, time to make our privacy tools easier to find and introduce measures such as the new privacy shortcuts menu and tools to find, download, and delete your personal data. You had a tutorial on this, I think, last week.
I did. Look on the CCO Facebook site or the Paul and Jordana site. There's a video of me sitting at my desk that Susan shot. I showed you how you can, delete the apps that can get in and get your data and also how to just adjust your privacy settings for ads.
You were ahead of the curve. And finally, there's a suit. Facebook involved in a suit in California over the collection of call and text message logs, which came to light a few days ago. Facebook said it did not collect anything without user permission. This class action suit says otherwise the data scraping only affected users of Android's version of Facebook Messenger. Apparently it scraped all kinds of call information, including your contacts. So again,
not a great few months for
Facebook. They're trying to get out ahead of this, and we will see if they are successful. But I don't know. Talking about Facebook, it makes me hungry. And when I'm hungry, I want to hear from Rick Nelson.
Well, thankfully, what a segue.
Oh, hey, Rick.
What a segue. Rick Nelson has just entered the studio from his offices over at the Star Tribune, where he is the food reviewer, food critic. It's great to see you, Rick. It's been
nice
a while.
To see you both. I know.
Good to see you.
We missed you last month because, what, you're traveling the world?
Oh, I wish I'd been traveling the world. No, I was just, I think I was in Western Wisconsin somewhere, you know.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, that's traveling the world. Yeah. That's a start.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
So one of my friends, Wendy Cobby, posted that you did a review on some kind of bread.
Oh, on Breaking Bread Cafe.
There you go.
Yeah, so I did a story last week just on 10 places that maybe people should be thinking about. They're kind of off the radar. You know, they don't get all the media buzz.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that was one of them, a place in North Minneapolis. It's a really fantastic restaurant on West Broadway.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. She was loving that, and so are we.
Yeah. What else is on your mind? What's coming up?
Well, so tomorrow in the paper, I have a piece on two places in St. Paul that are both kind of utilizing in really cool ways historic buildings. One is a place called Holman's Table, and it's at, of all places, the St. Paul Downtown Airport.
Like, what?
Really?
Who knew? And there was a restaurant there about 20 years ago, and there's a reason why there hasn't been a restaurant there for 20 years. It's because there's no reason for a restaurant to be in this extremely remote, out-of-the-way place, but it's actually a really great restaurant, and you should, and people should go there. It's terrific.
So where is it, and is it an old hangar?
It's in the old, like, 1939 kind of vaguely Art Deco administration building slash kind of terminal.
And the name of this again is?
It's called Holman's Table. The airport was originally called Holman Field.
Right.
And it was named after, you know, some pilot from the 1920s who was a stunt. Anyway, the men who own a place in Plymouth called Rock Elm Tavern, they're also opening a second one of these in Maple Grove. They took over this site, and I asked him, so what made you do this? And he said, because I'm crazy. But he fell in love with the place, and it's really easy to see why you would fall in love with this place. It's a really – I mean, just the environment itself is really cool. The dining room's really very modest, and it's got a cute little bar at the end of it, and it overlooks the tarmac. So you're like – you sit here and have really lovely food, pretty reasonably priced. They serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you can, like, watch the planes go in and out. It's actually kind of cool.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I have to give that
a shot. How's the food?
And the food's really – it's good. It's like – I think they're trying to do a little too much. Like it's like the menus are a little just too big. I think they need a little bit of focus. But it's the kind of place where you could go and have a great business breakfast, or, you know, you could go there and on a date night and have a very – it's kind of romantic. Mm-hmm. And one of the nicest things about it is they have really, really convenient and free parking.
Nice.
So, you know, like, if you're in downtown St. Paul and there's nowhere to park and it's really frustrating, just cross the river and go to Holman's Table. It's a very cool idea.
To check
also,
that out.
We've done segments on people that used to go out to the airport, MSP,
right,
and just watch the planes.
And just watch the planes. And so you can do that here.
I think there's such potential in being at an airport. You know, it's that sense of travel and wonder and excitement that maybe you're going on a trip or people are coming. You're waiting for guests. So I love that they're sort of using that for a dining experience.
And so the new hotel that's under construction right now at the airport at Minneapolis St. Paul International, they're going to have a rooftop deck. And a bar. So that'll be like a really cool place to go and watch the planes take off while you get, you know, have a nice cocktail.
And Rick, you don't need to go through security.
No, not for that hotel. Not for that one.
No strip search.
Yeah.
If you want to go have lunch. Okay, that's
no,
good.
No passenger tag or anything like
just
that.
Just asking.
Right. Yeah.
What else you got for us?
So the other place that I'm writing about in tomorrow is it's in this really, really fabulous, I think it dates to 1858. You know, it's an old house. In the oldest neighborhood in St. Paul, the oldest residential neighborhood, the Upper Landing, which is if you come off the High Bridge on the west side and you're coming into the city, it's right there. It's kind of where Irvine Park is, if you know that neighborhood. And a man, a historic preservationist attorney, fell in love with this tiny little building, and it took him about 10 years to restore it.
Wow.
And during those 10 years, he was so fortunate because he thought, what am I going to do with this building now that I'm restoring it? Well, during that time, the Surly Bill passed the legislature, you know, the quote-unquote Surly Bill, which allowed craft breweries to blossom in the state. And so he opened his own craft brewery. And he's brewing these really delicious German lagers, which were all over St. Paul, like in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. And he's recreated that kind of feeling in this house that actually used to be a lager saloon in like 1855.
Wow.
It's really cool. And the beer is good. And the kitchen is very simple, and they do really delicious things like sausages. They make like three or four either pork or pork veal or pork beef sausages. You know, they have like eight or nine side dishes. They've got a fantastic apple strudel, you know, big pretzels. You know, it's just like the kind of food you want to eat with beer. And it's really affordable and really accessible, and it's incredibly charming. It's called Waldmann. W-A-L-D-M-A-N-N.
Mm-hmm. Waldmann.
And you got to go there. It's really great.
Other than the food, are craft brews still in their moment? It feels like it's been a long moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a story in tomorrow's paper. My colleague Amelia Reno has another craft brewery is opening this week.
And they're making money?
And they keep going.
Is it too much of a good thing to the point where the competition now, I mean, there's so much out there, so many great options.
Right.
It's making it harder for individual breweries, I think, to make ends meet. Am I wrong there?
Well, I think there's so much specialization within this that I think you can find a very tiny fragment of the market,
a niche,
and you can blossom inside that niche, you know? And I also think it's a very neighborhoody kind of thing, too.
Right.
You know,
true.
I don't think you're necessarily going to travel all the way across the Twin Cities to go to a small tap room, but you'll go to the one in your neighborhood all the time, right? And so I think that has, you know, I think beer is an extremely local kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the advantage that it has.
What's interesting about those models is that I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they're out to take over the beer industry.
No.
They're just happy being in the tap room, doing their thing, being craftsmen
right.
of what they love, and happy in their neighborhood. I don't necessarily think it's world domination of Anheuser-Busch.
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think Anheuser-Busch is going to turn around and pick up a lot of these small craft breweries instead and kind of burnish their brand by saying, hey, look at what we do. We also do this, along with making this swill that we put in a bottle.
Mm-hmm. So, really cool yeah. stuff, really.
Swill. Is that a pejorative? Yeah. Swill?
I think so.
I've had my share of swill.
Wonderful to see you, Rick. We really appreciate you coming in, and we will be reading you tomorrow.
All right.
Right now, it's a Wicks and Jewelers time check at 3:48. Wicks and Jewelers. Go see all our friends at Wicks and Jewelers. They make great gems and diamonds, and I don't have my copy in front of me, so I'm totally making this up as I go along. Jordana and Paul here. Mikey's going to join us at 4:50 like he does every day. But just wanted to get to hopefully two other stories that Paul and I are following. 12 states signaled yesterday that they are suing to block the Trump administration from adding a question about citizenship to the 2020 census. We reached out to our local Census Bureau. They told us to direct all of their comments and questions to the Department of Commerce. Susan Blanche did that. And they said they can't talk to us today, but we are hoping to set up what this means for you. We want to talk to somebody. What does it mean for you? What if you answer it and you are an illegal immigrant? What if you refuse to answer it? What does it mean if people don't respond to the census? How does that affect us?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. The other story that we were following is this Mary Franzen one, Minnesota state lawmaker, representative from Alexandria, Representative Mary Franzen. She's getting a lot of heat on Facebook. She posted three posts on Facebook that were questionable. One of them was a repost that referred to one of the Parkland students as the supreme leader. Another one where she was quoting Hitler Youth, and another one where she showed a picture and described Hitler Youth as the Parkland Youth. And it was all very troubling. We reached out to Mary and hope she comes on.
Again, a reminder, be careful what you retweet.
Might want to whitewash that.
Okay.
Dirty delete it.
Dirty deleted. There you go. All right, Jor. Hey, this Twins Minute brought to you by Gull Dam Brewing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.